I'll be reading from Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God has reconciled the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
In chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and then continuing in 11b through 32, records one of Jesus' most famous parables. Because the parable of the prodigal son is so famous and so well known, sometimes we tend to tune it out. On the cover of your bulletins is a contemporary painting of the prodigal son that puts some contemporary images in there to help you all, while I'm reading, to look again at a story that you may think you already know. Let us listen together now for God's word. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me." So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' And so he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, 'Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he got him back safe and sound.' Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead to him, but he answered his father, 'Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him.' Then the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. May God bless the reading and hearing of this God's holy word. The parable of the prodigal son is hard to get away from. I think every time it's come up, I have preached on that one. And yet, there's some other interesting passages that come up during this lectionary cycle. And so, I'm going to ask you to keep the prodigal son in mind. We'll mention it a little bit in this sermon, but we're going to focus our attention on our passage from Corinthians. And don't worry, we'll get back around to prodigal son, if not today, certainly another time. But in thinking about what to say this week, I thought about how each week, as I study and prepare and write sermons, that I tend to keep this question right in front of me, foremost in my mind. And the question is, how can I speak that we might hear God's word? How can I speak that we might hear? It's an important question, not just for me, but for the whole community, I think. Because the word that we open together each week is a word worth hearing. And it's not just worth hearing like a good song is worth hearing or some important news is worth hearing. But it's a word worth hearing in the same way that a mother's love for her child is worth hearing. Or a husband's love for his wife is worth hearing. Like that, the word that we open together each week is worth hearing because in its hearing, we come to know the nature and depth of the love that brings life. But more specifically, in the word worth hearing, we come to know the nature of God's love for us in and through Jesus Christ. And so this week, as I broke open the word in Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, I became acutely aware that this was not a word worth hearing. You see, but this was the word worth hearing. For in our passage from chapter 5, verses 16 through 21, what we have is a concise summary, really, of the whole gospel. It's concentrated down for us into one bite-sized and tasty morsel. See, right here in only six verses, Paul lays out for us this comprehensive and radical work of God in Jesus Christ, whereby humanity was reconciled to God, that we might become ambassadors, as Paul says, of God's reconciling love to the world. Which seems to me a bit jargonistic, the way I phrased it. So, because this is the word worth hearing, let me speak a little more plainly. What Paul is saying here is that through Christ's life and death on the cross and resurrection, all of creation and all of us have become entirely new creations, whose relationship to God has been reimagined and made whole again. And so all that was old in us is made new, and all of our brokenness is repaired, and all of our sins have been forgiven, and through we have been recreated. Which is what Kyle helped remind us this morning in his baptism. And because of all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, we are called now and equipped to respond to God's reconciling love by loving God back with our whole hearts and our whole lives in what Paul calls the ministry of reconciliation. And so, as succinct as I can make it, speaking in a way that I pray that each of us can hear this morning is the word worth hearing. It is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for such good news. It's a big passage. And thinking about it this morning, And so thinking about the good news in general, I couldn't help but conjure up the image in my mind of a ripple on a still pond. You know, we've all thrown that rock into the pond at some point, I'm sure. And we've all seen how that initial splash is followed by these concentric circles that radiate outwards from the splash point, right? I remember as a kid, probably around, I don't know, 10 or 12 years old, I went to sailing camp on Cuca Lake in upstate New York. Every morning, we campers would step out of the cabin, and right in front of us would be this beautiful lake. And so we would grab rocks as big as we could find, and we'd throw them one at a time into the still morning pond. It was a game, really, where we tried to see whose ripples could extend the farthest into the lake. It was purely fun, and it didn't occur to me at the time that those ripples could have some spiritual lessons and significance for us. But thinking about it this week, I see the connection, and I see just how significant the message is in the image of those ripples rippling across the pond. For in a real way, you see, the cross and the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ were this gigantic splash on the still pond of creation. Upsetting the status quo and sending shockwaves throughout the world that grew and expanded far beyond that initial splash, the whole Christ event, if you will, changed the water's natural patterns and reached out to even the farthest shores. But you see, what made our game back at summer camp fun for more than just one of us is that no matter how big the splash was, eventually the pond would smooth out again, and it would be time for somebody else to throw the rock in to see how big of a splash they could make. But I don't want to carry that analogy too far, because the Christ splash in the world, as Paul explains it to us, did nothing less than make us new creations. I mean, it was a big splash, a supernatural splash, really. And his splash changed us and the world and our relationships to God and to one another fundamentally and essentially and at the elemental level. But though it was a big splash and an important splash and a unique splash, by God's design, we have been made partners in God's work. And Christ's splash was never meant to be the only splash. Paul phrases it like this: "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us." Doesn't just mean here the folks in the community that he was writing to in Corinth, but to us, you see. So that we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. Because of what God has done, we have a job to do, to be God's ambassadors in this world. Christ's splash was big and unique, but it was never meant to be the only splash. By design, God entrusts this ministry of reconciliation to us, and through us, God's appeal to be reconciled to one another and to be reconciled to God ripples throughout the world and becomes real. We embody and become the gospel in the world. And so, in light of the word worth hearing, the image of 10-year-old campers throwing rocks one at a time into a still morning pond needs to be reimagined and modified. We need to have a new image. And so a better image, perhaps, I will offer to you. So feel free to breathe deeply and maybe close your eyes that you might see. Try this image on. The image of a still pond whose banks and color and shape and size and depth are altered entirely by an enormous splash that causes ripples the size of tsunamis. Along the banks of this newly recreated pond stand rock-wielding crowds, throwing rocks in no particular pattern or order. Splash, 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 splash. The rocks hit, and the ripples radiate all over the place, bouncing off of one another. And the pond is filled with a complex network of ripples, all in harmony with one another, and all in harmony with that first Christ splash that started it all. Maybe that image gets closer to what Paul is talking about here. As we move beyond images, though, into the practical, I wonder for us how we might be those who throw rocks and cause ripples in harmony with the ripples that Christ made first. I mean, how can we be ambassadors? What does that look like in the real world that we know and live in? It looks like many things, I think. It can look simple sometimes, like not holding a grudge against a family member, or forgiving a friend who definitely wronged you. We all have those. So, splash. And splash. It could look like conversion, with a woman who walks into a church one Sunday and walks out telling others of God's love because that morning, for the first time, she realized that God loves her too. She wants to tell people about that. Splash. It could look like caring, as a man works as a hospice volunteer so that he can care for others as his wife had been cared for while she was dying. Splash. It could look like feeding, as a community extends grace through its food shelf, or through a simple invitation to their communion table one Sunday. Splash. Splash. Maybe it looks like a church like ours that chooses to engage the question of same-sex marriage despite the hazards and finds along the way God's presence in that conversation, and finds a deepened faith, perhaps, and maybe even finds the courage to be reconciled to one another as we have been reconciled in Christ. Splash. It could look like an older brother who chooses to celebrate with his young prodigal brother, though he squandered his fortune and really didn't deserve forgiveness anyway. Splash. It could look like speaking the truth in love to someone who needs to hear the truth. And it could look like baptism. Splash. I think it can look like a lot of things. And I think it does every single day. However the word worth hearing looks, though, lived out in the days of our lives, what ties all of the splashes and ripples together that we make, may we never forget, is that Jesus splashed first. And we never forget that he did that. And as he did that, we have been made new, that we might be God's ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation, so that our splashes might make more than waves, that they might move beyond do-goodism and niceness to become nothing less than rippling good news, cascading across the world. I pray each week, and certainly this morning, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart are acceptable to God and are communicated in a way that you are able to hear. For the word we break open is important and essential and so worth healing. And so think of this. Friends, God has given us the gospel, has given us the gift of Jesus Christ, and in so doing, changed the world and forgiven us and made all of us into new creations. And so this morning, as you hear that, as you hear that the word which is worth hearing, I pray, as I do every week, that the good news makes you want to shout. I pray that makes you want to sing. I pray that it makes you want to make a splash for the gospel in this world. Yeah, I think I pray for all of us that hearing that makes us want to make a splash for the gospel in this world. Amen.